Microsoft carries a sweet tune for the ouch and nice to virtually meet you. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by Tech Tailgate 2022. MSB Media Network is proud to premiere Tech Tailgate at IT Nation Connect 2022. Come tailgate with your favorite vendors and pros in the MSB channel all throughout the week. Learn game-winning strategies, pick up exclusive swag through special giveaways, and build up your roster for another W at the Super Bowl of IT events. Look out for our locker room interviews from all the major players leading up to the week of the big game. To learn more, visit techtailgate2022.com.
Good morning and welcome to the October 14th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent. How are you doing today? It's awesome. There's no hurricane. I feel like it's been forever. So talk to me.
I am brand damn specular. Spectacular. That's what I'm going with. It doesn't sound pretty, but it feels damn good. So, Tony, we talk about a lot of really thought-provoking things here on Dispatch. We talk about the hard-hitting news. But I feel in our 50-plus episodes, we've missed the real question. If you had the opportunity, would you rather be in the Star Wars universe or the Star Trek universe?
Oh man, you're just luring me into a fight. There's literally like door number one or door number two. Which gang do you want to fight? Which is horrible because I like both. I mean, I actually like both. And I, you know, since a kid with, you know, I like both. We leave it at that so no one attacks me thoroughly.
Very, very politically correct response. I appreciate that. Now, everybody knows I'm a hardcore Star Wars nerd. I do appreciate Trek. Don't get me wrong. I watch it all. I absolutely appreciate it. And I have dozens and dozens of lightsabers. I can't remember the last time I went to Disney and didn't go to Galaxy's Edge. I'm a hardcore Star Wars nerd. But I heard this TikTok a couple days ago that posed this question and then gave the answer of you'd have to be out of your mind if you don't answer Star Trek. And the answer is real, and the reasoning is very simple. Star Trek is a communist utopia where you have tons of worlds you can vacation. You don't have to pay for anything. Everybody's at peace. Where in Star Wars, you have this like this, you know, horrible regime that comes in and tries to take over everybody's planets every 30 years. You're under a complete oppression. And if you want to play with lightsabers, go to the holo room in Star Trek and do it yourself. So I can't say I disagree with that. You know, being a Star Wars nerd, it hurts me to say it, but I think I'd land in Star Trek world. From the MSP audience, if you boiled your blood, if you have some feelings on the matter, and I'm sure a lot of you do, hit us up in the comments. But for now, you got some news stories for us?
I do. Kicking it off straight from the heart with Microsoft. In an article on Petri.com, Microsoft is scheduled to release the new Intune Premium Suite in March of 2023. Microsoft has announced its plan to roll out the new Advanced Management Suite in March, and the cloud-based Microsoft Intune Premium Suite is a cost-effective premium endpoint management, which will include endpoint privilege management, remote help, Microsoft Tunnel for mobile app management, as well as advanced endpoint analytics capabilities, with support for more features to be added over the following months. The Microsoft Intune Premium Suite will improve the remote help solution that launched on Windows in April. These include a new ServiceNow integration, improved compliance messaging, enhanced elevation and support for Android devices. This release will also enable IT admins to hear audio from employees while providing remote assistance. In early 2023, Microsoft is also introducing a new endpoint privilege management solution in public preview. This service will automatically manage and elevate standard users' permissions to admin status to let them perform specific tasks on Windows cloud-connected and co-managed endpoints. Ray, this article, as I'm saying it, I am just like the Star Trek versus Star Wars community. I am hearing the blood boil from some, and some are saying, yes, there's so much. It's a cocktail of conflicted emotion. Give me your thoughts on this.
So it's funny because when Intune first came out, MSPs all over said, well, can I get rid of my RMM? And then when Lighthouse was announced, it was, oh, Microsoft's coming after the RMM. And in both cases, the answer is no. Lighthouse, centralized management method for M365, still in beta as far as I understand. Intune has a ton of amazing features, but it doesn't really have a GPO-style management. RMM still accounts for a lot. Then the remote support was announced and was going to be an add-on, but we're stepping into RMM territory, or at least the management part. And now this whole suite, and it's wow. We've talked several times before. I'm not an alarmist. I'm not the guy saying you got to get rid of your RMM. RMMs are dead. Absolutely by no means. You do have to have a method for wide scale management of platforms. That is without a doubt. Now, whether it's desired state configuration, whether you're doing monitoring, alerting, however you're doing it, that's up to the user. But I do like to see Microsoft come out with native strategies for this. As always, it's only a piece of the puzzle, whether it's going to address Mac, whether it's going to address Android, iOS, Linux, left to be seen, how effective these things are, how cohesive they are with the rest of the Azure ecosystem, right? Because Microsoft is notorious for building a bunch of things that don't play together. Like in the MSP world, it's about single pane of glass, or at least not swivel chairing. We live with all of our integrations. That was the one takeaway here that actually threw me for a loop. This is the first launch I see from Microsoft that says, hey, and we're going to integrate with ServiceNow at launch. We're going to integrate with an enterprise grade ITSM platform. That's a big move. That is no longer waiting for the ITSM platforms to integrate. That's saying, no, we're at launch. We're good. We're here. As always, it strikes me as enterprise first as opposed to SMB. But it's a step in the right direction. What do you say, Tony? What are the tea leaves here for you?
Well, let's be blunt. Ambient support is the objective, meaning it's just there and it should not be. It's kind of like the umpire at a baseball game where you don't really know the umpire is there unless the umpire messes up. And ambient support for your customers is the objective. They don't really know you're there. You're just keeping things from an operations perspective moving. Although the micro-segmentation is critical in everything that you do, Microsoft is simultaneously pulling it all together in one complete ecosystem and creating that ambient level architecture where it just does what it's supposed to do. And they even mention repeatedly Android, Android, Android. I did not hear the mention of Macintosh, so I'd like to explore that a little bit more. But this may be the holy grail if it's done correctly, or it may be a complete opportunity for everyone else to fill in those gaps. So I'm really interested in how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, what are they going to have? Dashboards? Are they going to have alerting? Are they going to have, you know, proactive response? There's a lot of pieces left, but you know, we'll talk about it. Let's see what the MSPs say. Are you looking forward to it?
And frankly, like I said, those opportunities, those exploits are wide open. And I think this is going to open up a huge opportunity. As much as it's closing one door, multiple other doors will open. But exploits, exploits, exploits. Ray, talk to me.
So we said last episode there was a FortiOS CVE, and we put it as a notable mention because there were no active exploits. And this is the point where Phil puts a card up somewhere pointing to the previous episode. So I'll just point up because I notice he does that when I do the editorial review. Now it's in the wild. The top story number two, security FortiOS CVE active exploits, an update from last episode, as reported by James Horseman on Horizon3.ai. After releasing an advisory to patch CVE 2022-40684 last week, the security flaw was reportedly exploited in the wild. To determine if their system had been compromised, customers should configure and enable REST API logging through the Fortinet CLI. However, aside from Fortinet's recommendation to check a device's log for user equals local process access, and again, this link will be in the show notes, Horizon 3 also recommends that affected systems should also check logs with user interface equals node.js or user interface equals report runner. Take note, the REST API request failing is not a sign of an unsuccessful attack because Horizon 3 researchers were able to modify admin users' SSH keys through a REST API request that reportedly failed. According to Horizon 3, attackers exploiting the flaw can further compromise the system by modifying the user's SSH keys to log into the compromised system, adding new local users, updating network configurations to reroute traffic, downloading the system configurations, and initiating packet captures to capture other system information. Tony, we've said it over and over. Stop putting your admin interfaces on the internet. Use IP restrictions. Use strong keys. I mean, how many of these do we have to do before people stop, before enterprises stop putting these admin interfaces on the interwebs? Why does this keep happening?
I am fascinated. I almost feel like there's a predictable lowest common denominator here. That is, what's that called? I keep forgetting the term. People. I feel like people, I keep forgetting that term. People are the lowest common denominator. Now, the objective, of course, is to automate as much as possible. I even mentioned in the previous article about micro-segmentation is critical in a security world. If you're doing it correctly, you're micro-segmenting your policies as well. You're putting everything in a hyper-queuing environment, so one thing doesn't affect another if there's an advent of a surge of activity. But when it just comes to passwords, we're not talking rocket science here. We're talking about sheer education. We're talking about a standard operating procedure, an SOP for everything, and which comes full circle back to my number one rule. I say it every single day. I say it to my kids, to my friends, to my coworkers. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it. Repeat that. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it. But once you truly understand something, you truly understand the mechanics of how everything fits together, you will be in control of it. You can manipulate it because you know what is movable and what is not movable. If you can explain to everyone the importance of passwords and explain to everyone the damage that the lack of a very standardized process in place and a policy that's defined for a certain reason and define what that and explain what that reason is, if you can explain that to someone and they in turn can explain it to others, that education will ripple throughout an organization and have an enormously positive effect. I feel like I'm going too far. We're saying the same thing every single time. Ray, am I going too far? Am I missing something?
So one of the things I've said over and over that I used to complain to security researcher friends, and I challenge them, is give me simple, actionable steps that I can do to improve my security posture. Let's not make this ethereal. Let's not make this a theoretical. Let's make this practical. Well, turn off your damn HTTPS web interfaces for your admin surfaces. How hard is that? I know I shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't say this, but if your firewall has an admin interface on the public internet, you and I are not friends. At some point you got to admit you're the problem. I'm saying it, you're the problem. If you're out there putting admin interfaces, don't be that guy or girl. Be the better IT admin. Go fix it. Home, work, anything. If you're volunteering at some organization, check their firewalls. It's not hard to do. Hell, you can do it quickly in mass on Shodan because the attackers are. So please go do that.
I want to know how many people we just lost at that very moment that didn't listen to the last part of what you said, because they're literally disabling the web interface for their admin interface.
Or we're getting 10,000 watchers to one.
To one. How do I do this? I don't VPN.
And it's Phil agreeing with us about Star Trek universe. But anyway, let us know in the comments. Let us know if we're friends or if we're not friends. I want to know. But Tony, let's get virtual.
Yes, let's do it. In an article from CRN.com, the metaverse will turn into nearly a $1 billion industry by 2030. The global metaverse space will grow to $996.42 billion industry by the year 2030, surging ahead at a compound annual growth rate of 39.8% over the next 8 years, according to a recent report by analytics and consulting firm Global Data. Rob Cato, Lenovo's vice president of North America channels, told CRN in an email that channel partners should pay close attention to emerging tech around the metaverse. Quote, there's a land grab going on for strong metaverse ecosystem partners and learning, end quote, says Dipal Agarwal, the project manager at Global Data. He said in a statement, quote, telcos are, by and large, keen to understand the lay of the land and invest in exploration and startups as a potential partner. M&A activity is picking up, with access to technology being key rationale for most of the deals. Unfortunately, there is also low usage. There's another article in our show notes from futurism.com that states, even with a $1.2 billion market cap, according to the data aggregator Dapp Radar, the Ethereum-based world Decentraland had only 38 active users over a period of 24 hours. And this is where we go to answer the question, what is the metaverse? In the metaverse, people use avatars to represent themselves, communicate with each other, and virtually build out the community. In the metaverse, digital currency is used to buy clothes, weapons, shielding, in the case of video games, and many other items. It was first described in 1992 in the novel Snow Crash, and several companies developed their online communities based on the concept, most notably Second Life, which was released in 2003. The movie and novel, Ready Player One, helped really popularize the idea. Ray, I have so much to unpack here, and I don't know if we can do it in real time or we do it virtually. Just tell me your thoughts on the metaverse. Am I underthinking it? Am I overthinking it? Have you already built out a community? Have you banned admin level access to accounts to manage networks inside the metaverse? Talk to us.
I can't wait till we can start attacking virtual firewalls in the metaverse for publicly virtual admin interfaces. No, my inner 12-year-old just sees Zuckerberg with the hoodie, shaved head, with, you know, petting the white cat saying, $1 billion, ha, ha, ha. No, I did have to Google what is metaverse, because remember, this came out more than a year ago, had a launch, failed launch, they pulled it back. And then I think it came out again. So I had to Google. I'm like, I needed to get caught up on what this is. We've heard Sobel talk about it. We've heard Palachuk talk about it. Ryan Morse talk about how service industry and opportunities, that's where the real money is. How can businesses leverage the metaverse to interact with their customers, other businesses, suppliers, whatever it is. Whether that's practical or ethereal, that's a whole other conversation, right? We remember the Microsoft HoloLens that had all these amazing applications, augmented reality, so you can perform surgery, you know, just and have everything visualized in front of you, or, you know, you'd have a mechanic working on an engine, they'd be able to digitally display the engine in front of them and split it out. I mean, really cool Minority Report stuff that really didn't come to the masses. And HoloLens is an advance of metaverse by several years at this point. It makes me wonder if this is a Microsoft Courier type thing, right? Microsoft Courier came out well before the iPad. It was a good device. It was just a decade and change way too early. I wonder if Metaverse is just way too early. I wonder if HoloLens is way too early. What do you say? What about you? Do you see promise in this?
I don't know. That saying comes into play. The problems of the past will lead to the solutions of the future. And all I hear is Second Life, which the solution is don't build it again. and there's a huge difference between virtual reality, augmented reality, which you're referring to now, and a Second Life metaverse. And I think we're 100 years too soon before 100 years, maybe 50, but too soon for that. And I'm really interested how the MSP community thinks that they'll benefit, because there's got to be someone out there that can say, hey, listen, I could benefit from this. And I would love, love to hear that. So if there's anyone out there that thinks they could build something or do something in a metaverse environment that will benefit their business in a commerce style, please weigh in on this. Anything would help. I'm fishing for ideas, and there's no fish in the lake.
I'll even double down on that. If there's anybody using metaverse now for themselves or their customers, we want to have you on the show. We want to hear from you firsthand. If you're a pioneer in this, we want to hear how you're making it practical. So hit us up. news@mspmedia.tv, 833-MSP-Network. Hit us up in the comments. Hit us up. But for now, let's get into the notables. In my first notable mention, Firefox is providing a free phone number to help eliminate spam calls, as reported by John Porter on TheVerge.com. Mozilla is adding virtual phone numbers to its Firefox Relay, a service that helps you hide your real email address, giving you a virtual one. Spam phone calls and texts will be easier to block with this virtual alternative phone number. You can block all calls or texts sent to this number or only block specific contacts. It allows you to keep your real number private, which is important if you want to receive sensitive information. According to Mozilla's blog post, the service generates a phone number for you to give to companies you suspect might use it to send spam messages or share it with others who will. Vendors, we're looking at you. The new phone number masking service costs $4.99 a month and entitles a user to only one phone number that can't be changed once chosen. My second notable mention, Thoma Bravo to acquire ForgeRock for $2.3 billion, as reported on darkreading.com. In the past few months, the private equity firm Thoma Bravo has acquired two identity and access management, otherwise known as IAM companies, and ForgeRock has just become its third one. Reportedly spending $2.3 billion in an all-cash offer for ForgeRock, the deal will likely close on the first half of 2023. According to an earlier report published in Dark Reading, the private equity firm is banking on growing market for service to drive the IAM demand. In addition, Reuters said Thoma Bravo also expressed interest in Darktrace and Nearmap over the past year. Tony, what do you got?
In my first notable mention in channeldailynews.com, Elon Musk offers to buy Twitter at the original price if Twitter drops the court action. Elon Musk has offered to purchase Twitter at the originally offered share price of $54.20 US per share if Twitter drops court actions, according to a filing by Musk to the Securities and Exchange Commission on October 3rd. Musk has offered to purchase Twitter for $44 billion US in April of 2022, but then tried to back out of the deal on July 8th when he demanded Twitter prove that fewer than 10% of Twitter accounts are controlled by bots. The two companies are scheduled to meet in court on October 17th. And in my next notable mention, in GameRant.com, an Oblivion mod lets players order a pizza straight from the video game. Eating in Oblivion, the video game, is something the protagonist can do in-game. But this one modder makes it so the player themselves can order a real-world pizza. And that's exactly what modder Nikes42 has done with their mod, Pizza Oblivion. As spotted by PC Gamer, this user has managed to create a way to order a Domino's pizza through Oblivion. With a bit of tinkering, players can utilize a new character who goes by the name Pizza Black and is situated outside of Way, just west of the Imperial City, to have a real pizza delivered to their door. The option will appear to ask for the usual, which in this case will be a 12-inch thin crust, 8 garlic bread twists, and a 20-ounce bottle of fused lemon tea, totaling $28.23 US, including tax and delivery. The modder also encourages that anyone who can code to alter the code if they know how.
In upcoming events, join us Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern on the CyberCall Voice of the MSP. I'll be joining Kelvin Tehelar and Kyle Spooner, along with Andrew Morgan, on how to communicate a cyber incident. On October 18th through October 19th, in-person event, PAX 8 Security Bootcamp in Denver, Colorado. October 18th, 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network. 10/19 through 10/20, in-person event, SMB Tech Fest, Irvine, California. 10/19 at 1 p.m. Eastern, Partner First, RPA for MSPs, automating your manual and time-consuming processes with Roost. 10/21 at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch's week wrap-up presented by yours truly, Mr. Tony Francisco.
And don't forget to check out Hack It 2022 presented by Huntress.
Those of you that attended Huntress's Hack It 2021 or any of the previous sessions will be delighted to know they're back at it. And joining me to talk about it is Mr. John Hammond, the senior cybersecurity researcher over at Huntress.
What we like to bring with Hack It 2022 is a lot of education, hands-on experience, and interactive stuff to get you in the know about what threats are out there. We are diving into three different sessions during the content days, November 15th and 16th. So you have two chances to catch the content.
And then on top of that, you guys have a pre-day event also, right?
So what we call day zero is a hands-on hacking training lab. Cutting through code, slinging exploits, a lot of fun and very cool stuff.
MSP Media Network is actually going to give away five of the zero-day licenses. We'll put the information below, but absolutely we invite you guys to sign up for Hack It 2022.
Excellent. See you soon.
Phil, that music hits pretty damn hard, dude. I was jamming out. Yeah, exactly. Simon's saying the same thing. It gets him hyped out. Like, I'm ready to go jam. Forget this dispatch stuff. Let's go party. No, seriously, do the registration link below. Register for Hack It, but use our registration link also because we're giving away those 5 day zero passes. Incredible training from incredible people. So don't miss out on that. We're very excited to give away those five. But really want to know, how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. You know, we also have a Discord where we post stories all week and you can propose your own and even vote on the ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at MSP Media TV for answers on the next episode. Or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-NETWORK. So, Tony, are you going to the holodeck to join Star Wars World, or are you going to go game to order a pizza?
I've been putting a lot of thought into this. I think what I'm going to do is go to the holodeck so I can fight the Star Wars people in a virtual battle. But no one's hurt. Everyone's cool in the gang. But then secretly go off to my non-dystopic happy place so I don't have to battle for pizza. I just want a pizza. That's all I want.
I love it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all I have to say is
this has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
So from the MSP audience, good Lord.
This will include a new ServiceNow integration. Hold on.
After releasing an advisory patch, words are hard.
This is a land grab going on for strong metaverse ecosystems partner. I just hosed that one. I'm so sorry.
According to Mozilla's blog post, the service generates a phone number for you to give companies you might. According to Mozilla's blog post, the company service. Words are hard. Surprisingly few bloopers. Oh, of course, I can't even say few bloopers without butchering that. All right.
That was funny.
In addition, routers. One second. That's what I get for talking about not many bloopers. All right.
Musk had offered to purchase Twitter for $44 US. 44. Redo that line. The two companies are scheduled to meet in court on October 17th. After he buys Twitter for $44. It's a good deal.
10/21, 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP week. Damn it. I was so close. Link below. Register for Hack It, but use our registry. Blah, blah, blah.